If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is a More Than Just Podcast production.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the More Than Just Go Podcast. My name is Tim Mitra. I am sitting in Toronto, Ontario, and I'm pleased to be joined by John Wilker in Denver, Colorado.
Yes.
Is it Denver?
Well, normally sunny, hazy and smoky and very hot Denver, Colorado.
Oh, we're not doing weather on this podcast.
That's for the drive time show.
Yeah. It's funny. We talk about weather all the time on the show, which is one of our sort of hilariousnesses. And it's funny because I love it when I get on talking about traffic with Mark, because I can always get him to do the Californians like with unintentionally, right? I'll say, look, so how do you get down to Big Sur? Do you take the number one and connect from the 420? And he's like, there's no 420. And he just goes on for 15 minutes about traffic in California.
Anyone who's sat through it is scarred.
It's a running joke. Yeah. So apologies to those of you who've done that. All right. So John, I know you're from the 360 dev conferences. I think I tell the story, and I told last week on the first video one about how I found out or tried to find out about iOS development when I first was tasked with the building of an app. And so I discovered three things in 2010. One was that I accidentally found Voices That Matter conference in Seattle. And so I jumped on a plane and went out there and, you know, enjoyed that and met some interesting people like Aaron Hilligas and stuff like that. And a friend of mine who works at Intel told me the real conference for iOS developers is WWDC. So you should head down to that one. You could get a ticket. I mean, this is April or May, and I bought a ticket, and they had been on sale for a couple of weeks. So I happened to get one of those, and I jumped on a plane, went down there for that. And then I don't remember how I heard about 360 iDev, but I think I bought the last ticket in 2010. Very late in the day, because I couldn't even get a hotel room. I ended up like a mile down the road, which. And for those of you who don't know Colorado and don't live a mile above sea level, right? I walked from that hotel. It took me 10-15 minutes to get from that hotel over to where it was in Littleton, I think, right? Littleton, Colorado?
2010, we would have been in Littleton. I don't even remember. There was a hotel within walking distance of our hotel?
Yeah. It was an area where, like, it was all industrial, conference-y kind of buildings, right? So anyway, so I walked over, and a 20-minute walk in Colorado for someone who's not lived a mile above sea level. I almost died. By the time I got to the lobby of the hotel where the conference was, I had to sit for like at least 15 minutes to get my, you know, my body back into working order, right? And I remember, yeah. I remember at that conference, you just kept saying to everybody, make sure you hydrate, make sure you hydrate. And man, was that true, right?
Which is funny because we used to bang that drum a lot and we don't anymore. It just kind of fell to the wayside. I guess I figured by this point, everyone has heard me do that. But yeah, we used to really like push the hydration and being cognizant of the altitude. And yeah, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, maybe you should.
yeah, probably.
Maybe you should. Because I certainly benefited from hearing you say it a few times, right? So the other thing interesting, so that's how I met John, folks out there, and I don't know if I personally met you at that point, but yeah, and then I kind of went for, I think I went to three in a row for a while. And then I think our friend Tammy, who we mentioned earlier, had a conference. So that's the one year I didn't go to 360 iDev. Apologies to Ray Wunderlich and RW DevCon folks, because that is one of my favorite conferences too. But 360 iDev, far and away, is my favorite conference to go to.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, and it's sort of, you know, we have a couple of unofficial things that we back on the show. And so we're all happy about, you know, mentioning the show, the conference as it comes up every year to our folks, our listeners to on the folks driving at home, as Jaime would say, listening to us talk about this. And in fact, people have asked us often, like, you know, Greg Hero and I are the only two hosts of the show that's met everybody that's been on our show, like regular hosts kind of thing, right? In person, in real life, as Greg likes to say, IRL.
Yeah.
And I think that was the first time that Jaime and Mark met in the same space. In fact, I don't know if they've ever done that, but we have a picture of us at 360 iDev.
Yeah. I do remember the year that all of you were there, or most, because I don't think Greg was there that year, right?
Yeah, he comes and goes. But we did a live, that was our first live from, I think we actually did it from the hotel room, actually. And then I think the next year you let us have one of the years you let us have a chance to do it, and we had Gene and Joe Chwilski, yep, and Tammy,
yeah,
in an episode. I think that was the time I went by myself, because I don't think the other three were. Oh, Jaime was there, but Mark's only been to 360 once, as far as I know, but not for want of trying. He just gets to be a busy boy. The other thing I know John Wilker about, and that's I apologize for dominating the conversation, but the other thing I know you about you is for the Space Rogues, which I don't know if you can't see. Yes, you can see right there.
Oh, nice.
My signed copies of, I think I was probably the first person to ask you to sign physical copy,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
So I have volumes 1 and 2, and I apologize, I've only gone through volume 1, but you're up to volume 37 now, I think, right?
Pretty close. Yeah. Book 9 comes out actually the week of iDev, not for any particular reason other than I just kind of poked a date on the calendar trying to figure out releases. But yeah, book 9 comes out in, I guess, the time of this recording, 3 weeks. Yeah, it's wrapping up with the editor now and then goes to get uploaded everywhere.
Well, and as you know, I'm an audiobook person, so I have to ask you, I think you've only done the first 2 books in audio.
Yeah, it's still on the list. My narrator moved and just had some life stuff going on, and then obviously with the pandemic, the life stuff was amplified and made more difficult. But yeah, as soon as he is back in business and recording, the last time I talked to him, which I haven't in a while, I need to follow up, but the like books 3 and 4 are like first up in his queue.
Sure.
So yeah, cool. Hopefully 3 and 4, probably not this year if I have to guess. Maybe one of them, depending on what his life is like. But yeah, probably next year I would hope I'll be able to get maybe 3, 4, and 5 out.
Cool. All right. And so let's talk about this for a minute. I mean, I know we talked about it on 360 iDev. Did we talk about your writing career? Because I think when last time I saw you in the same space, because we've had this, you know, 90 minutes of pause that we've gone through. Or was it 90 months? I can't remember. It's one of those two.
4 years.
Yeah. So, and like, yeah, I think you were working maybe on book. Yeah. You had just signed book 2. So it must've just come out. So what is it? Why did you become a writer? What's the sort of genesis of that?
I've always liked writing and telling stories. The funnest story I have about that is, My old business partner at 360 conferences, Tom Ortega, who you've met at 360s, he comes to most all. We used to work together at a mortgage company, and towards kind of the end of my tenure there, before I moved out here, we would always buy, we'd stop at Christmas, we carpooled together because we lived just down the street from each other, completely by happenstance before we even, we worked together. But we would carpool and we'd stop at Krispy Kreme and get like two or three dozen donuts. And then just put them on one of our desks in our cubicle farm and just kind of be like, you know, hey, there's donuts here for anybody. And the more you guys eat them, the less we eat. And initially it was just an email to our friend coworkers of, you know, donuts at my desk. And then I don't know if I was just bored one day, but I turned that email into this like fairly long, if you were to print out the email, story about, I think the first one might have been like aliens invading and bear claw shaped spaceships, and I worked in a couple of other donut types into the story. And so then it just became this like weekly short story about there being donuts on my desk, and people would like come by and be like, hey, add me to the donut email. They didn't actually eat any donuts, but they enjoyed getting the emails. And then I left, and every year there's a competition called National Novel Writing Month, which takes place in November.
Yeah.
And I've entered it for like 15 years now. And entering it just means participating, and winning just means finishing. And you get a discount on shirts. But 2016, when it came around, like the conferences had all finished, I didn't have anything particularly big on my plate. And so I just entered like normal and actually finished the book and that was the very first time I had ever done that. And that was Space Roads 1. And so then I just was like, oh my gosh, I kind of rekindled my love of telling stories and making stuff up and then hopefully getting paid to make stuff up.
Right. And so, but now you got nine books. Is it nine books in total or nine Space Rogue?
Space Rogues. Yeah. There's, I have the nine Space Rogues books. I branched out to another very similar space opera series. I call the Grand Human Empire, which that one's got two books out with the third about to go to the editor. And then on a lark, another NaNoWriMo more recently under a pen name, I wrote like just kind of a more terrestrial, like action adventure thriller mystery kind of book. And I did that under a pen name just because I wasn't sure. In hindsight, shouldn't have done it. I should have just made a piece by John Wilker. But I was worried that people that read sci-fi might not necessarily want to read that, and it would mess up all the Amazon algorithm juju. But yeah, so in total, I have about 14 books out.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. And then people wonder why all of a sudden...
Everything changed.
All right.
All right. So, ready? So it should be nice and silent now.
So smash cut. Yeah, there we go.
Was
so
it a Wayne's World?
I don't know. Maybe I'll do like a George Lucas, you know.
Yeah.
So just imagine those of you watching this on YouTube that I did some sort of like, you know, vignette-y sort of. There we go. There,
yeah.
Okay. what were we talking about? Yeah, we were talking about books and... Yeah. Oh, yeah. So my arching question is... So having been a fan of Heinlein, I think Heinlein kind of had a mega universe thing that kind of evolved through his book writing, you know, and I'm not sure about Arthur C. Clarke. I never could figure out him, but, I was fascinated by Asimov's sort of idea of how he tied, you know, all the foundations and all the, everything into the robot books, and, you know, it all has culminates at the end there, but I imagine that they have in their mind a giant, you know, galaxy of characters and storylines and plots and things like that. Do you have that kind of thing when you think about Will? What's his name again? Will?
Sorry. Yeah, Will Calder.
Will Calder. Yeah. So Will Calder. Yeah. Does he have? Is there like a major? You know, is his father going to show up at some point and cut his hand off, or, you know?
Not to that extent, but I do kind of have, I guess I would fall probably somewhere in the middle of that. Like, I'm not completely making it up as I go, but definitely I don't have like a, I don't know what the final book will be or where it'll, like what number it'll be. Like, I don't know how far it'll go. So I don't know where the story ends. But in my mind, I do kind of have everybody's history and their lives. I kind of have some idea of so that I can treat them like they have some more backstory when they do stuff.
Cool. All right. Yeah. I mean, so yeah, because I guess, you know, there's no point in asking you, like, you know, for the big spoiler, because it hasn't been conceived yet, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I have no idea what the big spoiler would be. There's only one, and you're far enough behind it by the time that you get to it. There, you'll probably know it anyways, but the big spoiler that comes out in 9 is that Will, oh, actually I can't even give this spoiler because it dates back to book 2, so never
mind. I was gonna say, what are you doing, John?
I figured by the time
we're supposed to give people a spoiler warning, you know, and say spoiler so they can zip ahead 10 minutes or whatever.
Retcon everything about that. Nothing. No spoilers.
So we were so close to finding out the real truth behind Will Calder, and oh man, yeah. So our running joke of Tammy not watching Firefly is now gone.
Oh, did she finally watch it?
Oh, you didn't listen.
Did I miss that?
Oh, you missed it. Yeah, we had her home for a whole episode. So here's the story. Right. I love telling this story because it's classic Tammy, right? let's trash her because she's not here, right? So for those of you who don't know, John and I have been trying to get Tammy to watch Firefly forever. I even hand-delivered the DVD box set to her house in Tennessee, you know?
Wow, that is impressive.
Yeah, it's still got the shrink wrap on it, right?
So she didn't even watch that one.
Well, I think she tried to watch it, but then she didn't. And then, so we finally convinced her last, you know, just in the middle of this pandemic here, I guess, a few months ago that, you know, we should do like a sort of like Sestercast did. We'll do she'll watch an episode and then we'll have her on, because Jonathan and I and Jaime have all, Jaime has been a while since he'd watched any of this stuff, but we're like, you know, we knew it really well. And so I started watching it again too. So I, you know, watched episode 1 and again, and from like tried to be like, okay, this is the first I've ever seen this show kind of thing. Right. And I contacted her on Slack and I said, so we're ready to do episode 1. How are you doing? She says, oh dude, I'm on episode 7. So what is, you know, once she watched 1 or 2, she was like totally hooked, right? So we had to slow her down, and then she eventually,
that is hilarious.
And so we did a mega episode on Firefly and Serenity, actually, all together, right? So
nice.
And actually,
did you guys do episodes about each one, or was the mega episode?
That was what we wanted to do. That we figured that, because we're like, the thing is, we're in hiatus because of all the Star Trek gap, right? Because
We did
Discovery, which I know you don't like. We don't have to go into that. And then we did Picard, you know, which has its moments, right? And then Lower Decks, of course, right? Which is great. You know?
Yep.
And then, but our, you know, the misnomer about our show, and it's kind of like more than just code. We don't just talk about code. In fact, we don't just talk about more than code. We talk about all kinds of things, and including, you know, psychedelic 70s rock bands, stuff like that, right? But so same thing with we started out with genuinely wanting to talk about Discovery episode by episode, but we do like a whole like 40 minutes just on sci-fi news, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
all right, then we'll up the listener count. I'll go back and add it back in. But I'll have to skip, like, so where do you guys diverge from it being entirely Discovered?
Day
one, it was
never really was. I mean, it started out as a ramble. It was actually a part of an after show that Jaime and I did once, and I just published it as episode 1. And the funny story about it is my stepson Jonathan used to be like, you know, the editor of the Toronto Star, like a front page editor. So he's big time, you know, doing this stuff, right? But he used to do game reviews and used to do comic book reviews, right?
Oh,
he's been collecting comic books since he had a paper route, right? So he's got like his whole foundation of his house is resting on comic book boxes, right? And that's a true story. Yeah. So he said, well, you know, hey, I listened to your first couple of episodes and, you know, a friend of mine mentioned this thing called Fact Check, and I don't mind doing a fact check on your show. So he started writing it out and doing the fact check. So so second or third episode, we added Fact Check to the show by Jonathan. And then I sort of said, hey, you know, why don't you just come on the show? So now he's like, apologies to Jaime, but Jonathan dominates the conversation because he's like a sci-fi nerd and he's a writer. So he, by train and training. So he can like, he's horrible to go to movies with because I'll be watching a movie and like, you know, Tom Cruise will do something. He won't watch Tom Cruise movie, but Tom Cruise will do something amazing. Some major story point will come up and I'll look over him and say, did you know that? He goes, yeah, I knew that like 20 minutes ago. Like he sees he's read so many comic books and graphic novels and movies and stuff as a kid.
He's got the genre down pat.
He knows what, you know, like he, I don't know if he knew Luke was Darth Vader's son, but he probably could have figured that one out, you know?
That would have been funny if he busted out at like the first watching and like called it.
Well, he could have been, but he was probably, I think he was around 5 or 6 when that happened, right? So
even more impressive then.
Yeah. Definitely, right? Definitely, yeah. Yeah, we did an episode on Avengers Endgame and we did a whole series on Game of Thrones. I had a celebrity friend of mine on to talk about it because he was hooked on it. And yeah, and then we even, for those of you who look at our fan art, I actually have the little Starbucks coffee cup in about, you know, just about every screenshot on that show, right? So
awesome.
Sort of running joke, right? Which nobody's like noticed.
Seinfeld, but, Superman.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And then, so anyway, let's talk about the other thing that you're involved in. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to get this episode out so quickly is 360 iDev. And so, for those of you who don't follow what we do, for a living, I'm an iOS developer and I work as a dev manager. And as I mentioned before, I've been going to conferences in person for many, many years. I mean, I started out just trying to find information because back in 2010, 2011, there wasn't a Ray Winter like .com. I mean, there was,
right.
But it was like he'd had 5 articles on the thing. In fact, you know, and when I met him, he had just, you know, started doing like a bit more serious about it. In fact, he hadn't made the decision to go full in on that as a business, right, at that point in time. But, because he was still writing books with partners and stuff like that. So going to conferences and sitting, you know, across from people and you know, the icebreaker for me, I always say to somebody, what kind of app do you work on and what do you do and what's your job? And that's a great icebreaker to sort of get people talking about their stuff because people love to tell you what they're doing, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And that's exactly the best thing about 360 iDev. Plus, I mean, the content's great. Like it's always, you know, pretty decent talks and stuff like that. And some pretty fascinating things, like, you know, I remember I can talk about like some of the ones, like, you know, when auto layout came out, we're all like, you know, like something comes out of WWDC and we're all like scratching our heads and go, that's kind of interesting, what do we do with it? And then, you know, you have Justin Williams talk about auto layout and you ever wanted to know about it, we're afraid to ask in a good, you know, 40 minute talk, right? And then you can discuss it with your friends. In fact, more than just code, we have to blame you actually for the genesis of that, because it was in one of those, you know, after talk conversations that I had with Jaime that we kind of clicked. And then when I was looking for co-hosts, I remember this kid that mentioned this stuff. And yeah, so
awesome.
Yeah, we're a child of 360 iDev, if you want to call it. Love child, I guess.
Right? All right, I'm going to add that to the list. That's part of my talk this year is stuff that has come of 360 iDev.
Yeah, so I mean we and you know we're just, you know, you can hear some notes for you. I mean, we're coming up on our 7th year of, we've got like 400 shows, we've a million downloads plus, nice. More than a million downloads, you know, including, you know, we officially hit the 1 million mark sometime last year, but depends on where I look at the stats, right? But yeah, no, we definitely have on Fireside, which is where we're currently hosted, we hit a million a few months ago. But yeah, and so, you know, and I, in one of my talks, I talked about how many hours at that time it would have taken you 2 weeks to listen to all the episodes. So I'd say probably 2.5 weeks now, end to end. You know, yeah, so we're definitely a product.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool to hear.
Of the conference. Yeah. So let's talk about the conference. I mean, last year, obviously we couldn't be in person. I'm not going to be in person this year. I bought a ticket. I'm going to be I'm on vacation, but I'm also going to try and sneak in. Well, cause the time difference lets me watch things a little bit later at night too.
Right? Oh, that's so, yeah.
And by the way, I rocked the online Stump the Experts last year, but what do we call
it? It'll be interesting to see. Stump this year will be interesting to see because we're still going to try and incorporate the online folks.
Oh, okay, good, good.
As much as we can. I think this year it'll be definitely different. What Tom and I have kind of settled on is, I don't know how we're going to do it yet online, but there will be basically a speaker team representative and an attendee team representative that just watches and pays attention to the online people. Cause there's about 5 speakers that are also remote. And so that way we'll be able to, like, if you're online, you can still chime in and be like, I know the answer. And someone in person will shout out, you know, Tim knows the answer. And you know, then we'll figure out like either a FaceTime call or whatever to like actually bring you up and have you answer the question.
I think I did the one-on-one thing. That's what, you know, where you have one, like two, the buzz in thing where you have,
The speed round type thing.
Speed round. Yeah. By the way, yeah, so just so to be clear to our listeners, of course, that the only reason to go to 360 iDev is for 360 Stump. But that's not the only reason.
It is a good time.
That's not the only reason, John. So why don't you tell us and those who don't know about 360 iDev what it's all about. Why they should get a ticket?
Well, they should get a ticket if they're interested in iOS. Well, now it's kind of a laundry list. iOS, Mac, tvOS, watchOS development. The tagline has gotten considerably longer over the years. But yeah, if you're interested in that, I mean, the nice thing about iDev, especially its timing, is, you know, Apple releases things at DubDub and we can talk about them immediately. And so iDev is kind of in the perfect post-DubDub window where people have started to experiment with things. They update their submitted their talks long before DubDub, but, you know, we update things. So if someone's like, well, crap, they just completely rewrote what I'm talking about, I have a month and some change to figure it out and update my talk. And so they do. So we end up having some really cool timely stuff to talk about. And then it's also just kind of a community meeting place. We do, you know, obviously Stump happens. There's a karaoke night, just the lobby hanging out. I've been working on my kind of closing talk and going through my photos app to pull in some stuff. And like, I mean, there's just so many photos of just people hanging out in the lobbies or at the sponsor booths and, you know, just reconnecting, finding, you know, the crux of my talk this time is, you know, kind of about community. And so highlighting like podcasts that were born, you know, in the earlier days of iOS development, everybody was, you know, writing their own apps and games and we're all going to be rich. Partnerships that spun up and, you know, book deals with Ray that came out of iDev and things like that. And this year being hybrid, you know, if you're not comfortable traveling, which given the way things are going is even more and more understandable every day, you know, we're going to be live streaming it. Very similar to how we live streamed it last year, except this time I'll be me and one or two other people will be emceeing from the stage of the conference instead of just at my desk here in my house. Great content where it's, you know, since we've got the online component, we're keeping it single track. So there's, you know, no having to, you know, decide or be kind of overloaded on choices and things like that. If you're into iOS, macOS, tvOS, anything Apple related development, it really is kind of the place to up your game.
Well, and meet other developers too. I mean, I should point out though, that, I mean, for like, I'm in Canada, obviously, right? I can't come to the United States next week or 2 weeks.
As much as we would like to have.
Yeah. You know, as much as I would like to travel through the Corona infested United States.
We're a little bit wasteland right now.
That's true. Well, mine, Colorado is pretty safe. I think you were saying, or I was reading earlier, but in your blog, but, and obviously European, I mean, we just opened the border to U.S. travelers coming to Canada just recently, like this weekend. Right. And so we're all, you know,
you're going to learn your lesson in 2 weeks. I'm sure you guys will be like, we should have not let
nobody ever listens to me, John, you know, like, yeah. I mean, I only just stopped wearing a mask like last week when I go outside to walk the dog with me and the dog and nobody else, you know, and I live in a neighborhood with really low percentages. Right. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, we've talked about the WWDC. Of course, we've had two, you know, Corona versions of that, which were really good because, I mean, you know, they dumped a whole slew of videos on day one and day two and day three, and you could sit and pick and choose, you know, what you wanted to watch. Everything, of course, because it's Apple, was 100% produced, you know.
Yeah.
I think you kind of sort of hit that mark a little bit last year with like, we have a conference here in Toronto that goes on before WWDC, and they had Paul Hudson on doing a live coding, because only Paul Hudson can do live coding and not look like a schmuck, right? Like the rest of us. But that was like not in the can. He was literally sitting in London at like 2 o'clock in the morning while we were watching it, right? But you know, with the dogs and everything. Last year you did do a pretty fair shot at the online thing. I mean, you know, with the canned talks and stuff like that, and then the questions and answers afterwards, which is still engaging. You know, I was working. The best part about it, no, I was working, and I would have you know, while I'm coding, I had, you know, my work over here, and on that screen over there, I was watching 360.
Oh, nice, yeah.
So
it definitely makes it easier in that regard. Like, yeah, you didn't have to take a week off, and
right, or travel to Denver,
or travel.
So it's good. So I mean, you know, like I said, the talks are always, you know, pretty engaging. I used to do an article on 360i Dev every year until they stopped doing articles. But not that I don't do articles. I mean, you know, technically, I suppose I could still do an article.
Yeah, I'd say you could still write them.
What's wrong with me? Right? Yeah, true. I probably could, but I didn't really. Yeah, I mean, like, but I used to go, and they used to give me the recordings. If you remember, you'd give me the recordings.
Oh, right. Yep.
So the ones I missed, I could sit through and sort of pick.
Yeah.
And pieces of them as well, so which was pretty good. So I was able to write some stuff about that, so that was a lot of fun. So now, can we talk about for half an hour?
So we can we are to get back to in person.
Let's be a little bit more business-like and answer the questions that everybody's asking. How do they get a ticket? You know, what does it cost?
Yeah, so yeah, you can get a ticket. Just go to 360idev.com. If you have never heard of it, it's 360idev.com. And you can.
There'll be a link in the show notes. Yes.
There you go. And, you know, we've got a ticket. The upside of it being online is I can get a lot more creative with tickets and things. And so we've got an online attendee ticket that is $150, includes access to all the recordings, things like that. This year I was talking to somebody and I've done it in the past kind of off and on. So they repointed out kind of the gender pay gap. So there's actually a women in technology. Every ticket has a comparable women in technology ticket that is priced based on the gender pay gap numbers from whenever the most recent ones were when I made the tickets. And then, you know, if you are willing and interested in coming in person, you know, we still have the in-person tickets, obviously. And that those vary from, you know, just your basic coming to the conference as, you know, to come and you get your t-shirt and stickers and swag. And then we have an all-in ticket that we added on that, you know, includes continental breakfast and, you know, a special reception on Sunday just for those ticket holders, plus speakers and sponsors and things like that. But kind of a ticket for everybody, for every level of, you know, kind of comfort level with doing things. 360idev.com. The ticket link is right when you open the page.
So do you still have and tell me if I'm talking out of turn, but do you still have the vet ticket? And you used to do a ticket where like a Cocoa Conf Cocoa Heads, like if you were a Cocoa Heads group.
Yep. So we still do a Cocoa Heads discount. So basically anybody that runs a Cocoa Heads, or if you don't run a Cocoa Heads and you run a Swift meetup or whatever we call, like Cocoa Heads is now a bit of an outdated term, but if you run a meetup that is about iOS or Mac development, you can reach out. You still can if there's time, if you've got a meeting coming up, but we basically give away 2 free tickets to every meetup that asks for it.
There you go.
And all we ask in exchange is, you know, share the word and, you know, make sure that everybody knows to then come. And we give on top of the 2 free passes, we also just give a community discount so that, you know, if you don't win the raffle, you can still come for less than full price. I do have the military ticket. I didn't make it is active, I think, this year. This year was a little bit more disjointed because I ended up just having so many like online level attendees and in-person level attendees. The military discount, I think I made it a discount for anybody that reaches out instead of a ticket that you could buy, just to not have the ticket page be 12 inches long when you pull it up to browse the available options. As I did that, I can't remember when I started that, maybe 2014 or 13. But yeah, just as a way to give back and say thanks, anybody that's active, retired, military, gets a half off discount. on any ticket level.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So I was, you know, we could dig a bit more into the life of a conference organizer and how pandemic has hit you and all that kind of stuff. But I just happened to listen to the last Release Note episodes where Joe and Charles had John Wilker on as a guest, and they talked about all that stuff. So I'm going to put a link in the show notes for that.
There you go.
People, I don't want to repeat, you know, I mean, I did actually ask you before I realized you were on their podcast, but you know, so I'm not going to drive that nail home, but yeah, I do remember. And just so you know, I mean, like for those of you out there who are, you know, thinking of ways that, like last year, I think just to talk about this for a second, you went, WTF am I going to do if we can't have a conference in person? And you sent out a plea to, and you know, it's like, hey, just, you know, hit my Patreon or whatever. And I know Jaime and I both did. And you comped us a ticket last year, which was great. Right. So, yeah, it was just, you know, our way of reaching out and thanking you again, because we wouldn't be doing this, you know, we wouldn't be rolling in podcast money. Wait a minute, where's all that podcast money? Let me know when you find some of it.
Those exposure bucks.
Yeah, exposure bucks. That's it. Yeah. But that and the bus ticket will get me downtown. Wait a minute. I already live downtown. Whoops. All right. Anyway, so I am stealing Tammy's idea and having a hot seat section of the show.
Okay.
I'm sure you're looking forward to. But So Tammy's, again, this is Tammy. Gotta love her. The whole idea of asking these kind of questions is based on the works of Marcel Proust, right? I don't know if you know who that is, but if you don't, you know, maybe I'll put a link in the show notes for that.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm actually going to ask you legitimate Marcel Proust questions.
And these are like stream of consciousness, right? Like I don't noodle on it. I just answer.
Well, we do have the ability to edit. I can edit.
Oh, good. So when I'm like,
we'll just
edit that part out.
Yeah. Editing is my thing. So yeah.
We can fix it in post.
Exactly. So smash cut to the first question and then smash cut to the answer. All right. So if they notice you move like this, all of a sudden they'll know that
yeah.
I did a cut. I've just given it away. That's the cigarette burn, like in, you know, what's that called? Fight Club. All right. So the first question, if you're seated comfortably, you're not seated, you're standing. Or if you're standing comfortably.
Hence the additional me moving around.
Well, at least we're not getting the mic noise anymore, which is great. Thank you very much.
And I wrote a note to remember to grease my office chair.
I don't know if it was the chair, but anyway, it was sort of whatever. Whatever it is, it's much better now.
Okay, good.
The listeners are appreciating it if they haven't already tuned out. For those of you who stuck with us, thank you very much for sticking around. So the first question is, what is your motto?
Keep going, I think. I mean, I've never thought about having a motto, but I probably should. I feel like everybody needs like an official
stenciled on the wall. Suck.
Oh, well, see, all right, now.
I saw your t-shirt on your blog. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the conference motto, my company motto is events that don't suck, which I've doubled down with. Like, I have shirts that I put that on and I wear proudly, and I've gotten a little bit of business from. So it worked out pretty well. But yeah, the conference motto is events that don't suck, because there's a lot of conferences out there and not all are awesome. And my goal is to have everyone go home and be like, wow, that was a fun time. And hopefully learned a lot.
Yeah. And I just want to point out to the Space Rogue fan out there that you're wearing a Space Rogue hat right now, part of the swag kit.
Always on brand.
All right. So speaking of heroes, who are your heroes in real life?
I honestly don't know. And I don't know that I have anybody that I kind of hold up to that.
Does Nicole listen to this show at all?
I mean, she's a hero for putting up with me. That's a big one right there. But yeah, I don't know that. Yeah. I might have to noodle on that and like, you can add it to the show notes if I think about it in time.
Okay.
I honestly have like no clue. I've never really thought about that.
All right. How about who are your favorite writers?
Terry Brooks is kind of the first writer that like got me hooked on reading. I'll just stick with that. There's plenty of like indie authors that I could probably prattle on about, but yeah, Terry Brooks is kind of the most mainstream person that I think I hooked me in.
Okay. What is your most treasured possession? His lightsaber behind you.
I was just thinking, I was like, how nerdy is it if it's my lightsaber?
Not nerdy at all.
It might be the lightsaber only because, one, it wasn't cheap, and two, I don't want to have to go to Disney World again.
Oh.
That in and of itself is an ordeal, and so I don't want to repeat that. So
why is it an ordeal? Just the current climate or what?
Oh, I mean, just it's a massive theme park with like 2 million people crowded into it.
Yeah, I have no desire whatsoever to go to any Disney park at all.
Yeah. I will say as an aside, since we're trying to fill that last 30 minutes, I did go with a friend who works for Disney and loves Disneyland or loves Disney World. And so he actually like had all the, he was like, all right, we'll do this. We'll go here. If we do this thing, we can get this ticket and then zip over here and do this. And so he had it all worked out. And Disney World does this like once in a while evening. Of course, it's an extra ticket because it's Disney. Nothing is included, but it's, you stay after the park closes for like an hour and a half. And so the population drops from, you know, 8 gajillion people crowded into the park to just 1 gajillion people crowded into the park. So the lines are almost non-existent. You can actually like get around. It's all you can snack. So you actually can enjoy doing, you know, grabbing up popcorn and ice cream sandwiches willy-nilly and things like that. So that made it more enjoyable. But yeah, just, I'm not a huge theme park person, especially if I've done it once. I'm like, all right, well, I'm good now for a decade or two. So yeah, it might be the lightsaber.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we still have this thing called Canadian National Exhibition here. And when we were kids, we used to go. But then as we got older, we kind of realized it's really janky and kind of scummy. And there's too many people. And it's just not worth going, you know. The only reason you go is if you get a concert ticket that's like within the venue.
And oh, sure. Yeah.
You get in for free and, you know, whatever, right? So it's all great. So next question. What is your idea of perfect happiness?
Being able to do what I love and be financially set. Not necessarily not have to work, but just enjoy what I'm doing and not have to worry about money.
Right, right. Well, one of the things that iOS developers like is the fact that we get paid to do what we love, right? That's the goal, right? If you're doing something you love, it's not work, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't feel like work. So it does feel like work sometimes.
Especially during meetings, but other than that.
Yeah. So who's your favorite hero of fiction?
It might be Malcolm Reynolds.
Still with Mal Reynolds.
Yeah. Right. Which reminds me of when we were talking about Tammy Eyes, I'm like, I'm due for a rewatch of that. I haven't done that in a while, but, so, I think so.
So the funny thing for me, and this is typical of what happens. Like I just bought like a 2020 MacBook that we're looking at right now. MacBook Pro 13 last year, and then Apple introduces the M1 like a month later. I'm like, oh man. But I had to watch the Firefly series, and I didn't have a copy of it, you know. And it was pandemic, so I couldn't just go to my son's house and get his copy of it. And so I looked around, and I can't remember. I think I bought it on iTunes. I found like a, you know, a reasonable price for it. So I paid like 20 or 30 bucks for it to watch it for the show. It's you do it for the show kind of thing.
Yeah.
Probably should have expensed it, but you know. And then a week later, literally a week, like the week we did the show, Disney puts it on Disney Plus.
Oh, is it on Disney Plus?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Is it Disney Plus? Yeah. It's on one of the, I think it's the, I'm pretty sure it's Disney. Yeah. Cause I wanted to see if it was better than the version I got, like in terms of like 4K or whatever. Cause it's of its time for sure. Like, you know, and just my instant review of the first episode is if I had only ever watched the first episode, I don't think I would have really bought into the show, you know?
Oh,
yeah, so because it was kind of, it's very sort of, I think it was 80, late, no, was it 2000s? When did it come out? It was like...
Yeah, I want to say like right at 2000.
We did fact check
maybe?
On this show. Yeah, somewhere around there. And it was, but it was kind of, you know, but and it's amazing that the people that are in it, right? Like the actors, like Sheena Hendricks and stuff like that. But, and every single one of those, you know, now I watch anything that has anybody that was in Firefly on it, including I watched the cop show that the rookie that he does now. And and I did watch Castle for a few seasons and stuff like that. But yeah.
Did you watch the episode of Castle where he dressed like Mal Reynolds.
I heard about it, but I think I had stopped watching by that
time. I mean,
time.
It's a throwaway, like...
Yeah.
It's a Halloween episode. He walks out. He's in the Mal Reynolds costume.
And his kid's like, who are you supposed to
yeah,
be?
Yeah, he's like Space Cowboy or something. And then it cuts to the rest of the show. Like, it was... Yeah.
Oh, it was like, it wasn't even like a thing. But apparently, everybody on the show, I heard that a lot of people were actually on Castle as perps or victims or... You know,
Alan Tudyk definitely was.
Well, the doctor dude was on that. I think he's.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. I've forgotten his name now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
Can do right. So,
I'm waiting for the rookie to have a Halloween episode and him to dress up as Mal Reynolds.
Reynolds, right? Yeah. Right. All right. So here's the last question I have.
All right.
I might come up with some more. Who knows? But this is the last official question. Where would you most like to live?
Probably here in Denver. I don't necessarily have a love affair of the ocean, so I wouldn't want to move back to the east or west coast. I lived in California for a long time. The mountains are fun. I wouldn't want to live in the mountains only because I like internet access. So yeah, I think
skiing all that stuff or
I did when we moved here. Nicole was like, well, we live in Denver now, you're gonna learn to ski. And so I did, but I never loved it. And it's a really expensive hobby if you don't enjoy it.
Right. And it's cold
and
wet. Yeah.
Like the highway into the mountains is terrible. And so we would get up at like 5 a.m. on a Saturday to drive up there and then basically kill time until the mountain actually, like, till the resort opened to be like the first in. And then we would leave at like lunchtime, because if you left at 4 when the mountain, when the resort closed, that was like a 4-hour drive to get back downtown.
Wow.
But if you left at lunchtime, it's only the regular 2-ish hour drive. And so it was just a lot. And I was like, I don't enjoy doing this enough for all of this suffering this entailed. And then there was the potential of death, you know, colliding with a tree or whatever. So yeah, I stopped. Nicole still does, but I now sleep in when she goes to the mountain, which is nice.
Well, my experience for skiing, I did it in high school, and we would go to like one of the big malls here and get on a bus, like one of those big, you know, tour buses.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we didn't have to deal with the traffic, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I moved up to Owen Sound, which is near Blue Mountain, which is not, I don't even know why they call it a mountain. It's a Blue Hill, it should be called. It's one of the better runs here, but it's like nothing compared to like the Laurentians or the Rockies, right? But you know, we skipped off school one day and drove over, and the place was, it was like a huge snowstorm, and the place was closed pretty much.
Oh,
us and like, you know, 30 other people. I'd skied through powder and all that kind of stuff. It was lots of fun. Yeah. So, but yeah,
nice.
I only did it for a few years, but then I got growed up and never went again. But yeah.
Yeah.
So where are you from originally, if you're not from Colorado?
California. Southern California.
What? You moved from California to Colorado? Like, what was that idea about?
Completely on a lark. Nicole and I were still, at that point, dating. And she had a job opportunity, and she's like, I might be going to Denver. Right. And I was like, I've never been to Colorado, so let's do that. And then in between the moving and stuff, I proposed and we got married. And then literally the day we got home from our honeymoon, the moving truck arrived, and off we went to Denver.
Nice. Cool.
I don't miss California. Yeah. I like visiting. Like, it's fun to go back and see friends and visit the ocean, but yeah, I'm okay.
So where were you in Southern California when you grew up and all that kind of stuff, went to school and everything?
Mostly. Yeah. I was like born and raised Pacific Northwest in around Seattle. And then my family moved to Southern California. We lived in Paris, California, not spelled the same as the cool Paris. And then I lived in Riverside. Nicole lived closer to the ocean, but my job was closer to her house. I had like an hour and a half on a good day each way commute, which is the other thing I don't miss about California is sitting on the freeway. I lived in Riverside for 10 years, I think. And then, yeah, we moved out here and never looked back.
All right, cool.
This has been another episode of the More Than Just Code podcast. If you want to find out more about the show, you can visit the More Than Just Code website at mtjc.fireside.fm. There you can find a summary and show notes of each episode. We list links to the apps, code, and news that we mentioned on the show. If you like the podcast, tell your friends, leave a comment on the website, or write a review on iTunes. And please recommend us in your favorite podcatcher. All of these things help others find out about the show. We really appreciate your help with spreading the word. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We'd love to hear from you, so use the hashtag AskMTJC and we may mention you on the show. Friends of the show can also join us on the podcast Slack channel. Once again, the podcast Twitter account is at MTJC_podcast. Please consider supporting the show by pledging any amount on patreon.com/MTJC. Every dollar pledged helps a lot. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. We'll see you in Denver sometime.
Yes.
One day.
Yeah. I have a meeting with the hotel tomorrow because I basically just send them emails now. Like anytime someone would like cancel their ticket and like, or thankfully most people haven't just canceled. They've just converted from in-person to online. And the first person that did it, I forwarded it to the hotel and was like, we should probably start talking about scaling everything back. And thankfully they've been very, very cool to work with as far as willing to do that. Like they're not kind of holding my feet to the fire on, you know, you said you'd fill 400 hotel rooms. As I was, that's not happening.
Well, I think from them too, they're probably happy to have the business too. I was going to start a new podcast and give it a whole different name and everything like that. But then I thought, you know, I've already got an audience with More Than Just Code. Sorry, audience. Yeah. I apologize to the audience in advance. Too bad. Thanks for spamming, by the way. We started up another podcast called Spotcast. And you know, we have 25 listeners, right? So. And that's after 3 years of doing that show. So I thought, you know, it's a waste to sort of throw away an audience of roughly, we get around 2,000 listeners to each.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Just code. And we have about 600, 700 people who are subscribers. And of course, you know, the pandemic has not helped any of that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. So it's kind of a pain in the buttock.
That's weird that the Spotcast doesn't have very many.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think there's probably a gazillion podcasts named Spock something or other.
Oh, so, yeah, that could be.
And you know, and Jaime and I just
you guys to... like Discovery, so that might be what.
Well, no, I wouldn't say we like Discovery because we decided to build a show around Discovery, which is probably the flaw in our plan. That was Jaime's idea. Was well, this new show starting up. Let's do a podcast about it, right? And so we merrily went off and did that. And then we argued about what we should have called it. What did I call it? Boldly Going or something like that, right?
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah, but there's already...
Truck Generic.
Yeah, there's already boldly Going, something to do with, you know, those Jason Snell and those guys over there, you know, Gene McDonald's friends and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
By the way, we're going to drop a lot of names here during this show, I'm sure, today between you and me. But they already had the name. And then, you know, I've teasingly renamed it Spock's Brain Podcast because I think that's probably a better, I like that name better. But we settled on something Spockish, right?
So moving forward, are you going to stick with just from video from now on, or is it going to be mixed back?
It's going to be a mix from 2020. I say you
need the what did we call it in the podcast with Tammy?
A roundabout creative chaos.
Yeah, the outtakes show at the end.
Yeah. Oh, the after show.
Yeah.
The after show that came from the everybody's favorite podcast, as my friend Greg called it today, Accidental Tech Podcast.
Oh, did they do that?
So yeah. Well, that's where they started. So I mean, I listened to them a few times, but you know, and I'm sure some of our listeners will agree, it gets a little tiring. So I stopped listening to it for a long time. I'll dial in every now and then when they do something that's interesting. But apparently, the genesis behind that was the three of them. They're all app developers. They all wanted to do a podcast about cars.
Right? Oh, that's
they're
right.
All into cars, right? And so what happened was they started this podcast, and then they started, you know, talking about, they kept sliding back into tech because that's where they're you know, where the rubber meets the road with those guys, yeah. Right? Pardon the pun, pun intended. Yeah, exactly. But I wish I had thought, I wish that was intended. That was a great, great, great little segue there. But yeah, then they just, I think that's how they got the name Accidental Tech Podcast, because they do talk about tech, and that seems to be
that's
their,
right. Yeah, you know, they did spin off the car one, but it didn't run very long, if I remember.
Oh, really?
And I listened to that. I didn't, yeah. I don't tune in much into ATP either. Just, I'm like, I certainly love Mac stuff, but there's only so many dudes talking about Mac stuff that I can do podcasts.
Yeah,
stuff,
true, so. True. And
yeah, I did the car one.
It depends on what they're talking about too. Like, yeah, I mean, I have a bunch, listen to a bunch of radio show podcasts. I used to listen to the radio shows, and now I listen or in the pandemic, I've discovered a few interesting little ones. Like Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is a pretty funny one. Oh, nice. You know, because I can never find him, his TV show, right? So anyway. So
alrighty.
thanks for being on the show, and
thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll definitely be chatting in the future.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks again, John.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.